السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We thank Allah عز وجل for allowing us to come together this particular day to speak about the time that we spent with our beloved Sheikh, Sheikh Abdullah bin Abdurrahman Al-Ghudayan Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And there's no doubt that it is upon a student to speak about and spread the merits of his sheikh and spread that which he benefited from his sheikh. And we find that in the likes of the Salaf. There's no doubt, starting with the Sahaba, spreading that which they gained of knowledge and character of our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, حدثنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق. Ibn Mas'ud informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who is to believe, the one who is truthful and to be believed, informed us. And that's how the Sunnah got to us by way of the companions, those who benefited from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of knowledge and character, as well as those that came after them from the Tabi'een and Atba' al-Tabi'een, as well as those of the latter generations, the works of Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, the character of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah got to us by way of Ibn Qayyim and others from amongst his students, Ibn Kathir, Imam al-Dhahabi, and other than them. And even today, the knowledge of Shaykh bin Baz, rahmatullah alayhi, is being dispersed amongst the Ummah by his students. The knowledge of Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen is being dispersed amongst the Ummah by way of his students. The knowledge of Sheikh Muqbil, the knowledge of Sheikh al-Albani, and others. And there's no doubt, it's an encouragement for any individual that sits with a Sheikh, even if it be a small portion of time, even if it be a short portion of time, it is upon that individual to write and record and to inform that which they benefited from the character of the Sheikh. And we have the book Sir A'lam al-Nubala, the book by Imam al-Dahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, which is merely statements of individuals that sat and benefited from scholars. They benefited from the praiseworthy men of the past, and they informed the people that which they benefited of knowledge and character. The individual that we're speaking about tonight, or today, as we mentioned, is Sheikh Abdullah bin Abdurrahman al-Ghudayan rahimahullah ta'ala. And there's no doubt that it is upon every Muslim that has the ability to benefit as much as possible from the ulama. And because of that, you have an encouragement in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari and others on the authority of Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiyallahu ta'ala an, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِدُ الْعِلْمَ إِنْتِزَاعًا مِنْ صُدُورِ الرِّجَالِ وَلَاقِنَّهُ يَقْبِدُهُ بِقَبْدِ الْعُلَمَاءِ حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يَبْقَى عَالِمٌ اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُحَالًا فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتُوا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. The hadith of Abdullah bin Amr bin As, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging his ummah to benefit from the scholars before they pass away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in that hadith that verily Allah would not take away the knowledge, removing it from the chest of the people. It's not that an individual would memorize something today and he goes to sleep and in the morning he has forgotten it. It's not that an individual would memorize a hadith or an ayat and in the morning he has forgotten it. No. Allah does not remove the knowledge from the chest of the people, but Allah would remove the knowledge by the passing away of the ulama. In that hadith, there's no doubt that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging his ummah to seek knowledge from those individuals before they are taken away. He also have that in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, when he mentioned to one of the companions, let's go. And after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was 10 years old, or around that age. So after the death of the Prophet Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said to one of the younger companions, let's go. Those are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the older companions. Let's go and let's benefit. Let's hear what they have to inform us of the knowledge and the character and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That other companion said to Ibn Abbas, do you think that the people will be in need of your knowledge? Do you think that the people will be in need of your knowledge? So Ibn Abbas left him, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma continued to seek the ahadith and the statements of the Prophet. And there's no doubt that Ibn Abbas became one of the great scholars of Islam. He became one of the great individuals that transmitted the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so, he's mentioned by the ulama of hadith as one of the seven individuals that narrated the most narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's described as al-Bahr. He's described as al-Bahr, the ocean of knowledge. And Ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an used to include Ibn Abbas in the private gatherings of the Sahaba to discuss issues and the likes. There's no doubt that Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he realized the importance of taking from the scholars before they passed away. And that issue is mentioned by the likes of Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, where he mentioned, أَخِي لَن تَنَالُ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا بِسِتَّةٍ سَأُبَيِّنُهَا بِتَعْوِيلِهَا وَبَيَانٍ ذَكَاءٌ وَحِرْسٌ وَاجْتِهَادٌ وَبُلْغَةٌ وَصُحْبَةُ الْأُسْتَاذِ وَطُولُ الزَّمَانِ. Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, or it's mentioned that Imam al-Shafi'i had said, O my brother, you will never obtain knowledge except with six. I will inform it to you and I will clarify it for you. He said, ذَكَاءٌ, which is, you should have a level of intelligence. وَحِرْسٌ, you should be diligent. وَاجْتِهَادٌ, which is another word for diligency. وَبُلْغَةٌ, بُلْغَةٌ is that you have the means. وَصُحْبَةُ الْأُسْتَاذِ, and that you sit with a scholar. وَطُولْ زَمَانٍ, and that you sit for some time. The last part is the part that we're referring to, وَصُحْبَةُ الْأُسْتَاذِ, that you sit with a scholar and you spend some time with him. And because of that, you had مثلا Al-Hafidh Khatib al-Baghdadi wrote a book, الرِّحْلَةُ فِي طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ. He wrote a book called The Book Traveling to Seek Knowledge. It was the way of the people of the past that they would not let a scholar live and die except that they tried to benefit from him, even if it be a small portion of knowledge. And that same statement that was mentioned by Imam al-Shafi was also mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, the importance of having a scholar, where he mentioned in his Nuniyah, al-jahlu da'un qatilun wa shafa'uhu amrani fi tartib muttafiqani. He mentioned that al-jahl, which is ignorance, it's a disease that kills. Wa shafa'uhu, and it's cure. أمران في الترتيب متفقان. It's cure. The cure for ignorance is two affairs on the same level. نص من القرآن أو من سنة وطبيب ذاك العالم الرباني. He said, it's cure. The cure for ignorance is two things on the same level. A text from the Quran or from the Sunnah, and then a طبيب, and then a doctor. Because you notice, he said, ignorance is a disease that kills. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi said, ignorance is a disease that kills, and its cure, a text from the Quran or from the Sunnah, والطبيب, and you need a طبيب. Why did he say you need a طبيب after saying ignorance is a cure, ignorance is a disease, and then its cure is Quran and Sunnah? Then he said you need a طبيب. You need a طبيب, which is a doctor. You need a طبيب, which is a doctor that tells you how to use and how to understand the Quran and how to apply the Quran and Sunnah. And that's why he said والطبيب ذاك العالم الرباني. And you need a طبيب. You need a doctor who is the عالم. Who is the عالم الرباني. الرباني meaning he has knowledge. الرباني, as Ibn Qayyim mentioned in Miftah Dar Sa'ada, he mentioned الرباني is an individual that has knowledge, an individual that acts upon the knowledge, and an individual that teaches the knowledge. العالم العامل المعلم. He mentions الرباني is the individual that has it, that implements it within himself, and that teaches it. So these were some of the things that are the importance of having a scholar, sitting with a scholar, benefiting from a scholar. And the issue of sitting with a scholar can go on and on. But the main purpose of this lecture is to speak about the time that we spent with Sheikh Abdullah Al-Ghudayan rahimahullah ta'ala. Like it was mentioned on the flyer and in the announcements, it's about the 3 years that we spent with the Sheikh. And the reason why I said we, it's not the respective plural. No, it's myself and other individuals. Other individuals, whether they are from amongst the Arab or whether they're from a Westerners. Because Sheikh Abdullah rahimahullah ta'ala made himself available for everyone. Everyone that wanted to seek knowledge with him, he made himself available. Sheikh Abdullah rahmatullah alayh, and it was mentioned on the flyer that we would discuss his knowledge and his call and his character. And that's in summary. Those are the main branches, and from those we have several sub-branches. With regards to the life story of Sheikh Abdullah Ghudayan, that's something that you can look on the websites, the authentic, trustworthy websites, and you can look at the life of Sheikh Abdullah Ghudayan and who he benefited from and the likes of that. But like I said, we want to discuss the time that we spent with the Sheikh, which was basically the last 3 years of his life. We first came into contact with Sheikh Abdullah Ghudayan in 2006. And in 2006, I was working in the UAE, and there was a Salafi brother, Emirati, Salafi individual from the Emirates. He had come to my office, and he had mentioned to me that he just got off the phone with Sheikh Abdullah Ghudayan, and he had asked him some questions. And at that moment, it struck me, because, well, alhamdulillah, before that, we were studying in the Jamiat al-Islamiyah, so we did not so much so constantly call the ulama, because we were present in Saudi Arabia with them. So we did not have, it was not instilled in us to constantly call them, because we were studying with them. If we needed something from a sheikh, which is one of the benefits, and from time to time we're going to mention the benefit, if we needed something while we were in Jamiat, while we were studying in Jamiat al-Islamiyah, if we needed something, a fatwa, or some advice from a sheikh, we would pray with the sheikh. We would pray with him. We would go to his house, like it was done during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the time after them, like we mentioned Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an. Ibn Abbas used to go to the doorsteps of the other older companions, and he used to wait, even if it was time of Qaylula, he would wait for them to come out, like it was the case of Abu Darda and the likes of that. He waited for him to come out. Anyway, when we were in Medina, when it was an issue and we needed advice and the likes of that, it was not necessary to call a scholar. We would go and we would pray with the scholar. Walk from the house of the scholar to the masjid, pray with him, sit with him, and then walk back, and you get your answers, you get your questions answered. And that is the likes of today. And this took place during with Ghudayan. If anyone had a question, especially other than the time of the durus, which is a benefit, especially other than the time of his durus, because at the time of his durus, it's possible that he doesn't have enough time to answer each question thoroughly, because there's so many people with questions. But if you come to the house of the scholar, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, Sheikh Abdulaziz Al-Rachi, if you come to the house of the scholar, and you leave the house with him at the time of Salat, and you walk with him to the masjid, you get your questions answered, and it's only you and the scholar. Most of the time, And I witnessed that with many of the scholars, the Sheikh Abdullah, Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri, Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abbad. So many times we've been in the company of the scholar, walking the scholar from his home to the masjid, and then back to his home, and we get all of the questions that we have and the concerns answered. And what's the major benefit? The time is you and the Sheikh. Most of the students don't come around at that time. Most of the students wait for the durus of the Sheikh. At any rate, so this individual approached me and he informed me that he just got off the phone with Sheikh Abdullah Gudia and with Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. And at that moment, I realized that there's no doubt when I'm in the UAE, I'm away from the scholars. So why don't I get their phone numbers and I contact them by phone? That was something very easy. I didn't even have to ask the individual for the phone numbers. You go on Google and you type Arqam Hawatif al-Ulama. You type in Arabic on Google, Arqam Hawatif al-Ulama, the numbers of the phone numbers of the scholars. And all of the scholars come up, and you have to be selective because there's some individuals that you don't necessarily want to call. But in general, you can get all of the numbers of the ulama. At that moment in 2006, we got the numbers of the ulama. We got the numbers of the mufti. We got the numbers of Sheikh Gudayan. And the reason why I'm saying numbers is because at different times of the year, they're in Riyadh. At different times of the year, they're in Mecca. At different times of the year, they're in Taif. They're in Taif. So we got the numbers of all of the mashayikh. And at that time, we began to call. We didn't have much work. I didn't have much teaching and the likes of that. So whenever I got the free time, I was able to call the mashayikh. That was when we first became familiar in terms of personal relationship, in terms of calling and the likes of that with Sheikh Abdullah Gudia. When we were calling, those fatawa are present. Those fatawa are present on the blog site, which is salafi.multiply.com, salafi with a double E. At any rate, we began to contact Sheikh Abdullah Gudian and Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan and the Mufti and Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi. He was alive, rahmatullah alayh, at that time in 2006. Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi was still alive. With regards to calling the ulama, and like I said, from time to time I'm going to mention some bit of it. With regards to calling the ulama, you have some individuals that said, I try, and I can never get through. It takes patience in calling the ulama. It takes a lot of patience. At times, you're calling, you know, there's a time difference between America, between England, between Australia and Saudi Arabia. There's a time difference. At times, the alim has a set time that he picks up the phone. And other times he doesn't pick up the phone, so it takes a lot of patience. It might take 10, 15 times calling the same number, different days, before you finally get the scholar. But when you do get the scholar, you inform the scholar that you've been calling for some time, and when is the best time to call. When you do so, you would have the fiqh of calling a scholar. You would have the fiqh of calling a scholar. Some person tries to call a scholar, he does it 3, 4, 5 times, he becomes frustrated, he leaves it. Another individual is patient. He asks the scholar, he questions the scholar, what's the best time to call, what are the best days to call, and he is able to get his questions answered. At that time, we began to call Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, and when we call, we informed of our name. We informed of our name, because there's no doubt when the scholar hears the same name, Ya Sheikh, this is Fulan calling from such and such country, he becomes familiar and comfortable with the individual. He becomes familiar and comfortable with the individual. So not only the fiqh of calling the scholar, not only the fiqh of having the correct timings and the likes of that, and having different numbers for the scholar, but at the same time when you call the scholar, you mention your name and you say where you're from. You mention your name and you say where you're calling from. And we benefited greatly from the Sheikh at that time. He was very patient with us by way of phone. And there's some ulama, like we mentioned, that early in the day, they take walk-in fatawa, like Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan and Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan in the daytime, because their morning job is that they sit in an office. It's the Hayat Kibar al-Ulama, Wadar al-Ifta. They sit in an office and they accept visitors, individuals that come into their offices. They have, mashallah, their patients. And the government supports them in this regard. The government supports them in this regard. They sit in the office and they answer the individuals that are approaching. We have some stories in that regard. So the Sheikh became familiar with the name. So much so that when we left the Emirat in 2007, and I visited Sheikh Abdullah in his office in Riyadh. And when I walked into his office, I mentioned to him, I said, Assalamu alaikum, my name is Mustafa from America. When I said that to Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, he said, "Min Qatar?" He said, "You're coming from Qatar?" And I said, "La, min al-Imarat." And he said, "Yes, yes, yes. I recall you used to call from the Imarat," which is one of the Gulf countries. He mentioned Qatar, but the reality is that I used to call from the Imarat. But the point is that he used to remember. He used to remember that this was the same individual that used to call me. With regards to, so this was how we came into contact with Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. And although you should understand, before that, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan is one of the original members of the Udu, of the Hayat Kibar al-Ulama. He's one of the original members of the Committee of Senior Scholars. Before the time of Sheikh Abdullah bin Baz, Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahmatullah alayh, it would be a mufti, Sheikh Muhammad Ibrahim al-Sheikh. Sheikh Muhammad Ibrahim al-Sheikh was the mufti. And there was not a committee, in general, there was not a committee of senior scholars. But there's no doubt, to have a mufti and not to have a committee leaves a lot of work for the mufti himself. So after the time of Sheikh Muhammad bin Ibrahim al-Sheikh rahmatullah alayh, the government made a committee of scholars. And that committee was led by Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz rahmatullah alayh. Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz selected individuals that would be on the committee with him. From amongst those individuals were Sheikh Abdurrazak Afifi, were Sheikh Abdullah Qu'ud, and Sheikh Abdullah Al-Ghudayan. So those were the four individuals that were from amongst the original committee of senior scholars. Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, Sheikh Abdullah Ghudayan, Sheikh Abdurrazak Afifi, and Sheikh Abdullah Qu'ud. Before Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, and before Sheikh Muhammad Ibrahim al-Sheikh, and all of the other individuals that we know, before all of them came, those were the four. And that was something we used to take pride in. As students of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, we used to take pride that the other ulama have passed away. Sheikh bin Baz has passed away. Sheikh Abdullah Qu'ud has passed away. Sheikh Abdurrazak Afifi has passed away, and we were not able to benefit from them. But Allah has kept one still alive. Allah has kept one alive, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, and we can still benefit from him. That was something we used to take pride in. And may Allah have mercy on our beloved Sheikh and the Shaykh. So that's how we came into contact with Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. With regards to Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, with regards to his knowledge, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, like we mentioned, he was from the original committee of the senior scholars. And there was great benefit in sitting with Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, because why? We did not reach the likes of Sheikh bin Baz. We did not reach the likes of Sheikh Abdurrazak Afifi. We did not reach the likes of Sheikh Abdullah Qu'ud. We did not reach the likes of Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti, which is very important. Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti, rahmatullah alayh, who is the Sheikh that wrote the tafsir, Adwa al-Bayan, he is one of the scholars that most of the ulama of Saudi Arabia, most of the ulama of Saudi Arabia benefited from that sheikh, surprisingly. Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti is from Mauritania. And he is one of the scholars that most of the ulama that we sit with, the likes of Sheikh Uthaymeen, the likes of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, the likes of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, the likes of Sheikh Abdulaziz Al-Raji, most of the ulama that we benefit from today, they benefited greatly from Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti. I can even say that I've never heard Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan mention Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan. I've never heard Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan mention his teachers like he mentioned Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti. And I've never heard Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abbad mention his teachers like he mentioned Sheikh Muhammad Amin Shinqiti, and likewise for Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. I've never heard a scholar mention his teachers more than he mentioned Sheikh Muhammad Amin Shinqiti. They mentioned them the most. And Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, Sheikh Abdul Musan Al-Abbad, and Sheikh Abdul Musan Al-Abbad also mentions Sheikh bin Baz a lot. He also mentioned Sheikh bin Baz a lot. And we have an example of that later, inshallah. But Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan constantly will mention Sheikh Muhammad Amin Shinqiti. Sheikh Muhammad Amin Shinqiti, we did not benefit from him in terms of sitting with him. His books are available. Walillahi alhamd. His books, his tafsir, is available. We're not talking about Muhammad Muqtar Shinqiti, the one that's still living. No, we're talking about Muhammad Amin Shinqiti. So we did not benefit from Sheikh Muhammad Amin Shinqiti. But we got to benefit from Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. And by benefiting and sitting with Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, you get some of the knowledge of Ash-Shinqiti, because Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan constantly mentions what he benefited from Ash-Shinqiti. What he benefited from him. The likes of We did not, in general, of course, we did not benefit, we did not see the character of Ibn Taymiyyah. We did not witness the character of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. We have his knowledge. There's no doubt we have his knowledge. We have his fatawa and the likes of that. But do we have the character of Ibn Taymiyyah in the books of Ibn Taymiyyah? Did Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayhi, ever mention, in general, did Ibn Taymiyyah mention his character, and I'm this type of person, and I'm that type of person? No. But how did we get that information from his student? We got that information from Ibn Qayyim. We got that information from Ibn Qayyim. So, there were individuals that we did not reach, but we were able to benefit from their character and their knowledge. Their knowledge by way of their books, and their character by way of their students. And that's one of the important reasons, one of the important reasons that you sit with a scholar. You not only benefit from that scholar and his knowledge, but you benefit from the character of the scholars that he sat with. Because it trickles down. Because it trickles down. So Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti, rahmatullahi alayhi, he was one of the scholars of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, and we benefited from some of the statements. We were informed of some of the statements of Sheikh Muhammad Amin through Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. For example, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan mentioned to us that he asked Sheikh Muhammad Amin, what is one of the most difficult issues of fiqh? What is the end? Sheikh Muhammad Amin was a faqih. He was a mufassir. He was a scholar of fiqh. He was a scholar of tafsir. Even so much so, recently, while reading one of the books of Sheikh Muqbil, Tuhfatul Mujib is one of the fatawa of Sheikh Muqbil. Sheikh Muqbil was asked, who are the most knowledgeable people that you know? Who are the most knowledgeable people that you know? Sheikh Muqbil said, the most knowledgeable person that I know in fiqh is Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Bas. The most knowledgeable person that I know in hadith is Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani. And before them, it used to be Sheikh Muhammad al-Shinqiti. Sheikh Muqbil said that, rahmatullah alayh. He said, the most knowledgeable person in fiqh is Sheikh bin Bas. The most knowledgeable person in hadith is Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani. And before them, it used to be Sheikh Muhammad al-Shinqiti, but I never met him. He said, but I never met him. In continuing, so with the fa'idah that we, one of the fawa'id that we got from Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan that he transmitted from Sheikh Muhammad al-Shinqiti, when Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan said, I asked Sheikh Shinqiti, what is the most difficult issue of fiqh that you've ever come across? And he said, Sheikh Shinqiti said, at-talaq. He said, divorce. Divorce is very difficult. Now what's a great fa'idah that we get from that is that here is a scholar that many of the ulama benefited from greatly. And Sheikh, so much like Sheikh Muqbil, rahmatullah alayh, Sheikh Muqbil mentioned to him to be one of the most knowledgeable scholars before Ibn Baz and before Sheikh al-Albani. With that being the case, Sheikh Muhammad Shinqiti used to find talaq to be one of the most difficult subjects of fiqh. And we find it easy to give a fatwa. We, in the West, we find it easy to give a fatwa. We find it easy to, no, you're divorced, no, you're married, and the likes of that. When Sheikh Shinqiti used to find it one of the most difficult subjects to speak about. And there's no doubt that there's a fa'idah. There's a fa'idah in that for us. With regards to the knowledge of the Sheikh, rahmatullah alayhi, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, had a large maktaba. He had a very large library. And he constantly bought new books. Not that he necessarily visited the bookstores, but his students used to also visit the bookstores and buy him new books. And that was witnessed in the classes of Sheikh Gudayan. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was the type of scholar that he would not only answer your questions and give you knowledge, but he would also refer to some books. I've never sat with a scholar, and walillahi alhamd, my shuyukh are many, but by the fadl of Allah, but I've never sat with a scholar that constantly mentions books and new books and referred to this book like Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan did. He would mention an issue, he would give the tafasir, the specifics and the intricates about the issue, and then he would say, refer to such and such a book. He was very much informed about books. He was very much aware of new books. That's one aspect. Another aspect is at times, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan would be asked a question, And he would delay the answer. And he would say, I want to check out a particular book and then I would answer you. That has taken place with the students that sat with him and from amongst the West and the Arab students that sat with him. And in his durus, he would constantly tell us, there's a new book out on such and such subject, go and buy it. There's a new book out on such and such subject, go and buy it. I recall one time I visited Sheikh Abdullah Godean, and he was mentioning Usul al-Sunnah by Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal. And he looked at me, and there was maybe two individuals in the office at that time. He looked at me and he said, are there any explanations, printed explanations that you know of Usul al-Sunnah? And I said, yeah, Sheikh, I believe there's one by Sheikh Rabi al-Madkhali. He said, Taib, jibhuli. He said, bring it to me. And he, Sheikh, he's not only is he asking about new books, and that's a fa'idah, because Sheikh Abdullah Godean is my Sheikh, but he's asking others about books. He doesn't have this pride. Sheikh Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, is mentioned in Sir A'lam al-Nubala. Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, said you will never be an alim until you take from three tabaqat. Until you take from three tabaqat. Those who are higher than you, those who are on your level, and those who are lower than you. Sheikh Abdullah Godean is not gaining knowledge from me. But he does not have within himself the pride to ask one of his students about a book. Is this book available? Have you seen this book? Do you know of any? Because at that time, and before, to the best of my knowledge, in terms of a printed book, before Sheikh Rabi's explanation of Sunnah came out, I think maybe Sheikh Ubaid's came out before that. Sheikh Ubaid's came out, but it wasn't in printed book form. You can download it from the internet, but Sheikh Rabi's was put into a book form. And there was another one printed into a book form. So Sheikh, you know, he said to me, do you know of any printed explanations of Usul al-Sunnah? And I said, yes, I believe Sheikh Rabi has his printed. And he says, Tayyip, bring it for me. And I remember I brought it for him the following day. At any rate, the Sheikh had a very large library. He had a very large library, and he constantly bought new books. And that was the way of the Salaf. That was the way of the Salaf. The Salaf used to spend their last dime on books. They used to spend their last dime on books. And the present day scholars like Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari, rahmatullahi, one of the scholars of Hadith of Medina, the present day scholar, Sheikh Muhammad al-Ansari, Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari was purchased, the government, because the government saw the work he did with regards to Hadith and the fact that he was a teacher in a university in Medina and the likes of that, and he was very good in, you know, he was giving lectures and he was helping the society and the likes of that. The government bought him a new villa in Medina, which is the present villa that Abdul Bari, Sheikh Abdul Bari, lives in now. And the book, the library of Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari is presently in that house, and it's open for visitors. You can visit that library, and you can look at the books and the likes of that. And this story, we benefited from Sheikh Muhammad Matar al-Zahrani, one of our teachers, rahmatullahi alayhi, Qadiyat al-Hadith. He said, I recall when the government bought Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari a new villa. Because Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari used to live in an old rundown building. He used to live in an old rundown building right across the street from Sheikh Muhammad al-Man al-Jami. Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari used to live in an old rundown building right across the street from Sheikh Muhammad al-Man al-Jami in Medina. So the government bought Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari a new villa. Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari went to saw the villa, and then he came back with the key to the Jamiat al-Islamiyah, because Jamiat al-Islamiyah was responsible for giving him the key to the villa. And he said to the individual that gave him the key, here is the key to the villa. Request from the government to give me the money. I would like to sell it. I would like the money. So then they said to him, but the government has granted you this villa. They know that you live in an old rundown place. They have granted you this villa. He said, no, give me the request. Make a humble request to them to give me the money for the villa, the value of the villa. I will sell it because I want to buy books. Because I want to buy books. The Salaf used to say, whoever seeks knowledge, aflasa. He's going to be broke. He's going to be broke. He always buys books. Sheikh Abdullah Godean was one of those type of ulama. Now there's a doubt that I would like to respond to. And that there were some individuals that when Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz died, they said Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz only had one shelf of books. And look at the level of knowledge that he obtained. This is batil. Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz's library is one of the biggest libraries in Riyadh. And this was at the time that he was alive and thereafter when he died. It's one of the biggest libraries in Riyadh. Why would they think that, why would they think that Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz had one shelf of books? Yes, in his masjid, And the masjid that he used to pray in, there was a shelf of books, but that wasn't his personal library. That wasn't his personal library. The ulama of the past, like is mentioned in the life of Sheikh, the life of Imam Muslim. Imam Muslim died because of him reading at night and eating the dates and the likes of this. The ulama of the past understood the importance of obtaining books, and it's mentioned that Ibn Qayyim had one of the largest books for a scholar. One of the largest libraries for a scholar. He constantly, and that's why you find the knowledge of Ibn Qayyim, and when he talks about fiqh, you feel that he's the most knowledgeable scholar in fiqh. When he talks about aqidah, you feel he's the most knowledgeable scholar in aqidah. When he talks about the diseases of the heart, you feel he's the most knowledgeable. They said Ibn Qayyim tamayyiz Ibn Qayyim an ghayrihi min al-mashayikh. Ibn Qayyim was distinguished from others because he had a large library. He had a lot of reference books. He could sit and he could benefit from them. So this was an issue with regards to, this is one of the benefits we learned when we sat with Sheikh Abdul Gulen. He was the type of individual that constantly bought new books and referred to new books. And this is something that we can all benefit from. We should all benefit, and there's no doubt we don't buy the books just to put on the shelf. We don't buy the books just to put on the shelf. No, we buy the books to benefit from the books and to benefit others. Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi, he was questioned by an individual that says, "Yeah, Sheikh, I buy books, but some of them I don't read, and some of them I do read. But the ones that I don't read, whenever an individual approaches me, and he wants to borrow the book, or he wants to come to my house and read the book, I do so. Is that okay?" Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen said, "That's okay, that's fine. That, in fact, you get reward for that. If you buy them and you read them, well, alhamdulillah, maybe your wife reads them, maybe your children read them. Maybe you die and your children benefit from those books. Or maybe you lend those books to your neighbor. Or maybe you open up, you know, you allow other individuals in your community to benefit from your books." But the point is, the ulama of the past were individuals that bought books. They were individuals that bought books. In terms of the da'wah, and we're going to mention a lot about the da'wah and the akhlaq of the sheikh as well, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. In terms of the da'wah of the sheikh, the da'wah of the sheikh was da'wah to tawheed and istiqamah. It was the da'wah to the tawheed of Allah and istiqamah. And he was one of the ulama, like we mentioned, he was the hayat kibar, he was on the hayat kibar of ulama. So the early fatawa about tawheed and the mistakes of individuals that had deviated from the correct path of tawheed and the mistakes of the individuals that believed in wahdat al-wujud, that everything is Allah and Allah is everything and the likes of that, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was one of the scholars that refuted those fatawa. His name, and those fatawa that you have from the Hayat Kibar al-Ulama against individuals and parties and the likes of that, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan's name is there. His name and his signature is there. Although Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan had an important methodology, and that is he did not like to focus on the names of the individuals, but he more so focused on their mistakes. Not that he felt it was haram, but the reason why Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, and like we learned from this likes of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, not to necessarily focus on the name, but to focus on the deviant methodology, is because it's possible an individual, a deviant, says a statement, and we focus on his name, and we focus on his deviance, but we more so focus on his name other than his deviance. You know, and it's possible that you say into an individual, "What are the mistakes of Fulan?" And he says, "Oh, that individual is terrible. Or that individual is bad. Or stay away from that individual." And then you say, "Okay, what are the specific mistakes?" They said, "I'm not too sure." They say, "I'm not too sure." Tayyib, you haven't benefited the greater benefit. You have not benefited the greater benefit. Why? Because if an individual that claims istiqamah and claims sunnah and claims salafiyah was to come with the same deviation, you would not be aware of the deviation. Because you are attached to the individual and not necessarily to the mistakes that the individual was deviated in. So the likes of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan and the likes of Sheikh Salih Fawzan and others from amongst the ulama, their main focus was not necessarily on the names of the individuals that have deviated and the likes, but their main focus was on the methodology that they deviated within, or they deviate by way of. Their main focus was on methodology. Sheikh Salih Fawzan used to always remind us of that. And he don't necessarily focus on the name, but focus on the methodology. Because if this methodology comes up in the name of Salafiyah in the future, like some individuals, they're upon Salafiyah, they claim to be upon Salafiyah, they claim to be upon the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and they come with the same maqalat, they come with the same deviation, but the people are not able to distinguish it. Because this individual was calling to Salafiyah and that individual wasn't. But the goal is to be aware of the methodology. and the individual, but to be more so aware of the methodology. So if this methodology comes up wearing a different thobe, wearing a different shamag, wearing a different clothing in the future, you know this is the same methodology that the ulama have warned us of. But the individual that's calling to it is calling to Salafiyah. So that should not be looked at. It should be what is the methodology of the individual. And there's no doubt that if the situation demands that a name is mentioned, the ulama don't have a problem in doing so. The durus of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, rahmatullah alayh. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, rahmatullah alayh, was an individual that loved to teach. He loved to teach. So much so, if you look at the amount of books that are written by Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, how many books do you have written by Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan? Nothing. He does not have one book on the Islamic shelves. You had ulama like that. You had some ulama that were teachers, and you had some ulama that were writers. And surprisingly, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan said in one of his biographies that he never felt to write. And most of his books he did not write. Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan said this himself. He said, I never felt to write. I never felt to be an author. And most of my books are not written by me. But most of my books are transcribed by my students from the audios. They're transcribed from my students from the audios. And we give glad tidings. The family of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, they have all of the recordings, all of the fatawa. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan used to do the fatawa on the radio, An-Nur al-Darb, for over 25 years in Saudi Arabia. Over 25 years in Saudi Arabia, he would do the fatawa once a week, twice a week on the radio, like the Mufti, like Sheikh bin Baz, and the others from amongst the ulama, like presently Sheikh Saleh al-Wahidan, Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, Sheikh Abdulaziz al-Raji, and Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was one of them. The family has, they've been, the government has submitted them the recordings of the fatawa of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, and the family is going to print it into books. And the family has also requested from some of the Western students that sat with Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan to translate the fatawa into English. And the reality is those fatawa are over 10, 15 volumes. So not only is the family going to put it into Arabic form, so we have it into book form, but the family also requested from the students of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan from the West to translate it into English, so inshallah we will be taking part in that work. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, rahmatullah alayh, had durus here in Saudi Arabia. And his durus were like no other dars of the mashayikh. Because Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan would have durus on different levels. His specialty was al-fiqh wa usul. Usul al-fiqh, I should actually say. Usul al-fiqh, the foundations of fiqh. And there's no doubt he taught that way. And he would pull principles. This hadith tells you of a principle. He was not the type of scholar that would just sit and give an explanation of a hadith. That was not his way of teaching. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. All of those ahadith, because that was one of the durus that we had with him, Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah, every single durs, he would say that this hadith is a principle. There are several principles in this hadith. That was the way Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan taught. And he had durus on different levels. He had durus on Mondays after Salat al-Isha with the Qudha, with the judges in the country, the judges in Riyadh. For example, Abdulaziz bin Qasim was one of the top judges in Riyadh. He would attend that durs. And other judges and individuals that were doing their PhDs and the likes of that, those were individuals that were sitting in that durs. So, walillah alhamd, we had the chance of attending that durs, and we read to Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, Raful Malam, one of the books by Ibn Taymiyyah talking about why the scholars disagree. Why do you have disagreement amongst the scholars? Which is similar to the book by Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, Ikhtilaf al-Ulama, the differences amongst the scholars. So that class was for the higher students, although I don't consider, without a doubt, I'm not from amongst those higher students, and other individuals that were from the West were not from the higher students, but Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was the type of individual that did not like to deny someone. So if an individual wanted to attend, he would allow him to attend. But he would not allow him to read higher than his level. He would not allow him to read higher than his level. In those particular durus that he had on Mondays after Salat al-Isha, he would read the high books of Usul al-Fiqh, the books of Imam al-Shatibi, the books of Ibn Hazm, the books of, you know, Zamakhshari, and the likes of that. High books, the type of books I would have to honestly say, when they were reading from those books, maybe 50% was understood, 50% was not understood by the individuals from the West, because this was on a high level. He was teaching judges. So some of the information we understood, some of the information we honestly did not understand. So he had durus on that level. He also had durus with the Westerners. He had durus with the Albanians on Thursdays between Dhuhr and Asr. He had durus with the Albanians. And those durus with the Albanians, he used to teach Sharh al-Sunnah, and he used to teach Mustalah al-Hadith, and he used to teach Aqidah. He had durus with the Albanians, and the Albanian durs was not translated. It was in all Arabic, because I believe most of them were students in Jamaat al-Imam, or they had graduated. So that class was not translated. So it had a smoother flow, because it was not cut with translation. That was the dars on Thursday between Dhuhr and Asr. And it should be known that from his character, quickly, that he was fasting on those days. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was constantly fasting on Mondays and Thursdays, wa ayyam al-bayd, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. But we'll mention that later in his character. And likewise, he had durus on Fridays. He had durus on Fridays, and there's several benefits we're going to mention from this, or history in the making that we're going to mention the durus on Fridays. The durus on Fridays was originally established by a brother by the name of Abdullah Hajar. Abdullah Hajar was a neighbor to Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. When Abdullah Hajar realized in late 2006, early 2007, when he realized that his neighbor was Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, he approached him and asked him for a lesson. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, like normal, he agreed to give the lesson. He would begin teaching the Westerners, British, American, anyone that speaks English, he would begin teaching us in a masjid which is across the street from the main road, which is across the street from the main road, Turki bin Abdulaziz al-Awwal. And this is a quick street. It's a street with a lot of, fancy cars and the likes of that. Individuals drive very quickly, and I'm mentioning that for a reason. He began teaching us in that masjid. When he began teaching us in that masjid, the women were allowed to come. The women, the families were allowed to come, and everyone was allowed to benefit. And he would give fatawa. That's how he would give his lessons when we first began sitting with him. He would give fatawa. He would open up the floor. He would give fatawa. He would advise us. You know, a lot had to deal with marriage. A lot of questions, and it's surprising, that which we live within the West in terms of marital problems, we bring it to the Middle East, and the knowledge that we benefit here from, if we do honestly benefit from the knowledge, we wonder where is it taking implementation in our lives, because the same questions that we heard in America were the same questions that we heard here in terms of physical abuse, in terms of in terms of mental abuse, in terms of not teaching the women, in terms of hitting the children, whatever, we heard it here. But the Sheikh was very patient. There were times that we used to sit after Salat al-Isha on Friday. There were times we would sit for 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours with Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, answering questions and answers, questions and answers. At that time, there were two translators, myself and another individual that has graduated and gone on to give dawah in America. There were two translators. And we wanted them, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, when he noticed that there were two translators, he mentioned to us, he said, Ikhwan, it's possible that other individuals, and this is showing his character, it's possible that other individuals will be affected, feel some type of way that they're only two translators. Let other individuals translate if they would like. And there's no doubt we opened the floor for other individuals, but some people did not want to translate. We benefited greatly from the durus of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan at that time. And by the qadr of Allah, you recall, most of you recall, about 2 years ago, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was in a major car accident. It wasn't that he himself was in a car. But what took place was, like we mentioned, we used to have durus for Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan after Salat al-Isha, and sometimes it was after Salat al-Maghrib. This particular day was after Salat al-Maghrib. Sheikh Abdullah would pray in the masjid, which is right next to his house, and then one of his sons would come and drive him across the street to the other masjid, because it was a dangerous street. One particular Friday, Sheikh Abdullah prayed in the masjid next to his house. And when he came out of the masjid, one of his sons were not available. And the Sheikh, mashallah, has over 10 children, 10 boys. Has over 10 boys. The Sheikh came out of the masjid and his son was not, none of his sons were available to drive him to the other masjid that he teaches us across the street. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan decided to walk himself. when he decided to walk himself and he was going to cross this dangerous street, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was hit by a car. While we were sitting in the masjid waiting for him to come teach us. We sat for some time. We looked around and some of us said to the others, something must be wrong. Because if Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan cancels a class, and by the way, he normally does not cancel a class. Not like some du'at who are not consistent and the likes of that. No, the ulama of the past and the ulama of the present. They realize the importance of teaching the community. I sat with Walilah Alhamd, we got the benefit of sitting with Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abad for 7 years in Al-Madinah. And Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abad, I can recall, never cancelled. In 7 years, he only cancelled once or twice. In 7 years, and he taught 6 days a week. We caught the end of Sunan al-Nasa'i, then we caught all of Abu Dawud, then we caught from the beginning of Tirmidhi to the end of Tirmidhi. 7 years. And in 7 years, 6 days a week, the Sheikh only cancelled maybe once or twice. One time was when Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen came, and the second time was when someone was doing their thesis for their masters, and the Sheikh cancelled so that he can attend the lecture. But within 7 years, 6 days a week, he did not cancel a class, except once or twice. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan never used to cancel. But if he had to cancel, he would send one of his sons, Turki bin Abdullah. Turki bin Abdullah didn't show up, and the Sheikh didn't show up. We said to one another, something must be wrong. After about 15, 20 minutes, a half hour, we packed up our books and we went home. By the time we got home, or on the way home, we were informed that Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was hit by a car on the way to who? On the way to teach the Westerners. On the way to teach the Westerners. He was harmed for us. It was easy for him to come out of the masjid and say that my sons are not here, I'm going back home and the likes of that, let me call them, let me tell them that I'm not teaching today. No. But he tried to walk across a dangerous street to teach the Westerners, the brothers and the sisters, because at that time it was families. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan benefited us greatly. After Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan recovered from that car accident, ihfadillaha yahfadak. That's the benefit. Ihfadillaha yahfadak. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, when he got hit by a car, was 77 years old. And he was hit by a car that was speeding. And he recovered within 2 months. Preserve Allah and Allah preserved you. It took place during the time of the Salaf. That individuals fell into holes from amongst the ulama of the Salaf. They fell into holes. And they crawled out of it. Holes that would possibly kill. And individuals said to them, how did you survive? They said, I preserved Allah when I was young, so Allah preserved me when I was older. Wallahi, we visited the hospital with Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. He had some stitches in his head. And he was smiling like normal. And we said to him, Ya Sheikh, are you okay? He said, I asked Allah to save me from the hellfire. And this which took place with me being hit by a car and the likes of that, ihfadillah, yahfadak. I preserved Allah, Allah preserved me. He was back to teaching within a period of a month and a half. But subhanAllah, he was hit and harmed on his way to teaching. Who? On his way to teaching the Westerners. And after that, he didn't stop. He continued to teach us, but he made it in the masjid, which was next to his house, instead of having to cross the major street. When we moved to the masjid that was next to his house, Sheikh Abdullah began to choose specific books. Instead of just having open fatawa, he began to choose specific books. We began to study Arba'in al-Nawawiyah. We began to study Aqidat al-Wasitiyah. We began to study Usul al-Thalatha. We began to study Umdat al-Fiqh, and we began to study Umdat al-Ahkam. So we had Aqidah, we had character, which is Arba'in al-Nawawiyah, character and, you know, principles of life and the likes of that, and we had Fiqh, Umdat al-Fiqh, which is by Abdullah al-Bassam, Sheikh Abdullah al-Bassam, who is one of the students of Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, and Umdat al-Ahkam, which is of course by al-Maqdisi, rahmatullahi alayhi, Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, rahmatullahi alayhi. We began to study those books, and we would take, you know, 20 minutes per book. We would read it, and that's some of the way of some of the ulama. Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi used to teach like that. Present day Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi teaches like that. There's some ulama that's the way they like to teach. The Mufti, Sheikh Abdulaziz, like to teach like that. Sheikh bin Bash used to teach like that. There's some ulama, they don't like to sit for 1 hour, 2 hours on one book. They divide 1 hour, 2 hours on four different books. Let's benefit from character. Let's benefit from fiqh, let's benefit from aqidah. That was the way of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. We began to benefit from those specific books. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan also taught outside. He also was very diligent in having telelinks. He would have telelinks with the brothers in England, Maktabat al-Sarafiyya. He taught them Kitab al-Tawheed. And he also had telelinks with the brothers al-Busira in New York. He taught them tafsir and the likes of that. He was very diligent in having the telelinks. And toward the end of his life, he gave several sessions from Masjid al-Tawheed, from Wilkes-Barre, several sessions of Fatawa. And we have those sessions recorded, and they will be available, inshallah ta'ala, in the near future. So he was very diligent in giving classes and making himself available and the likes of that. And we benefited greatly from him. And in the daytime, you can visit him in his office. And a lot of people are unaware of that. In the daytime, if you have time, you can visit him in his office in Dar al-Ifta. You could visit him in his office in Dar al-Ifta. And you can go and you can sit with him. And there were several times, walillah alhamd, we got the chance to benefit from him and go there. And it came to the point where Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, after visiting him, or while visiting him one day in Dar al-Ifta, in the office of giving fatawa, on our way out of the office, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan said, لَعَلَّكَ تَأْخُذْ دَفْتَرْ وَتَقْتُبْ هَذِهِ الْفَتَاوَى لَعَلَّكَ تَحْتَاجْ إِلَيْهَا يَوْمٍ مَا. On the way out of Dar al-Ifta, Sheikh Abdullah called me and said, you should take a notebook and write down these various fatawa. It's possible that you would need them one day. It's possible that you would need them one day. There's no doubt that there's fatawa that I jotted down and I wrote down and I recorded, and it's a fatawa I didn't. At times I would just go. And subhanAllah, you know, that knowledge, if I can remember, walillah alhamd, if I can't remember, it's lost. It's lost. Specific questions pertaining to the West, specific questions pertaining to marriage, specific questions pertaining to my own personal life, and other individuals that were with me, because I was not the only individual that would visit him. There were other individuals that would visit him. But we benefited greatly. The Sheikh made himself always available. If you did not find him in his office, you could find him at his home. You could walk with him to the masjid. At the end of Salat, he would sit at the back of the masjid and answer your fatawa and the likes of that. We benefited from him greatly. May Allah have mercy upon him. In terms of the character, and there's an issue with regards to the manhaj of the Shaykh. There's no doubt that all of us know and we're aware of that the manhaj of the Shaykh was the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And this was something that you can get in his old fatawa, the time that he warned against the different parties and the different individuals that went astray. And you can read those fatawa in the large fatawa of Al-Lajnat al-Da'imah, because his fatawa are in there as well. But I recall one time we were sitting with Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, and there was an individual that some hold him to not be on the correct path, whatever reason. And that individual was not a normal visitor to Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. He was not a normal visitor to his class. And that individual felt it upon himself to, as soon as Salat was over, that individual ran and sat next to where Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan would be sitting. He sat right next to him. So that when Gudayan came, when Gudayan entered into the mosque and entered into the masjid and finished his 2 rakat, Gudayan would sit and that individual would be right next to him. Some individuals that were in the masjid, they went to Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan when he entered into the masjid, and they formed the Sheikh, the individual that's sitting next to you, that individual is not upon the correct path, for whatever reason they felt. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan said, "Khalas, leave him. When Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan came over and sat down, he looked at that individual and told that individual, move away from this chair. He said to him, move away from this chair. SubhanAllah. When Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was informed that this individual was possibly not upon the correct path, he said to that individual, move away from this chair. And he told him to sit somewhere else. That was a mawqif that, I don't want any individual and the likes of that, any individual upon deviance, any individual that maybe upon an incorrect path and the likes of that, I don't want that individual to try to take advantage. Not that Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan has a problem advising that individual. Not that Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan won't answer that individual's questions just like he answers everyone else's questions. No. But will that individual try to use this motive, look, I'm sitting next to the Sheikh, so that people would think that I'm a student of the Sheikh? Or so that people would think that I'm close to the Sheikh? He did not allow that. He told the individual to move away. And that's the reality. And the scholars of the past and the scholars of the present, they're very cautious. They're very cautious who they keep in their company and who's around them. And they're very cautious. And Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan had a farasa. A farasa is the type of thing, it's kind of difficult to explain. A farasa is the type of thing you have The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, اتَّقُوا فِرَاسَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ, be aware of the farasa of the believer. A type of insight that you have. A type of inner feeling that you have that someone is not correct. Someone is not correct, someone is not being honest and the likes of that. Sheikh Abdullah Budayan was well known for having a farasa. Well known for having this inner insight, which is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. When he came over to the chair, he immediately told this individual to move away from his side. To move away from his side. And moving on, the character of Sheikh Abdullah Gudiyan. And there's so much more that can be mentioned about the Sheikh. And inshallah, bi-idhnillah, we would never stop talking about the Sheikh. This is a particular lecture, but inshallah, in the future, in our lessons and in conferences and the likes of that, we would never, bi-idhnillah, our tongue would never stop talking about Sheikh Abdullah Gudiyan because of the tremendous amount of benefit that we gained from his life, rahmatul alayh. With regards to the character of the Sheikh, Sheikh Abdullah Gudiyan was, as we mentioned, Sawam Qawwam. He was the type of individual that fasted a lot, and he was the type of individual that prayed. Turki, one of his sons, and it was one of his sons that were closest to him actually. And by the way, Turki speaks fluent English. He speaks fluent English. Turki mentioned that it was very rare that I would wake up in the middle of the night, whether to go to the bathroom or whether to do anything, except that I found my father praying. Except that I found my father praying. He would pray tahajjud, then he would pray witr, and then he would go into his maktaba and do some reading, and then he would go back to sleep. Rahmatul Ali. And Sheikh Abdullah Gudiyan, like we mentioned, he would constantly fast. And this was the way of the ulama. The way of the ulama, where they were individuals that the knowledge was seen in their actions. The knowledge was seen in their actions. Not the type of ulama, not the type of individual that can sit up there and give a dars and instruct the people and warn the people, and at the end of the dars he goes and he goes to the movie theater. Or at the end of the dars he goes and goes into a restaurant and listens to music and the likes of that. Not necessarily that he listens to music, but he goes into a restaurant that plays music when he very well has the ability to go to a restaurant that does not play music and the likes, even though our Prophet ﷺ forbid us for being amongst these type of individuals. But the way of the ulama, that they mentioned, it was mentioned by Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. He said, إِنَّ حَقًّا عَلَى مَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَقَارٌ وَسَكِينَ وَخَشْيَةٌ. And it's the right of a student, a person that seeks knowledge, that you should see. He implements that knowledge. He has humbleness. He has fear of Allah. Abdurrahman al-Awza'i, rahmatul alayhi, mentioned, كُنَّا نَدْحَقْ فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَا النَّاسِ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْنَا تَرَقْنَا الدَّحْكِ. And Abdurrahman al-Awza'i mentioned, we used to laugh. We're humans. We used to laugh, but when we noticed that people were looking at us laughing, we stopped laughing in public. The way of an alim is his character is different. His character is different. You can see the knowledge on the alim. The type of individual, subhanAllah, that you can come in contact with him, and let's say your iman is low, or your iman is stagnant, and when you sit with him for a few minutes, you leave and your iman is lifted. Your iman is lifted. You feel to make tawbah. You feel to make istighfar. You feel to be a better person. Not the type of individual that when you're around him, he speaks of knowledge and the likes of that. But when you're walking with him, girls, music, the likes of this. That's not the alim. Or that's not an individual that is benefiting from his knowledge. And that's not the type of individual that you want to take from. And there's no doubt. We have to start giving lessons on what are the characteristics of the person that we take from? What are the characteristics of the person that we take from? It's not the type of individual that at night, you know, or when he, you know, when he's in a private, you know, he's the friend of the shaitan and he's the enemy of Allah. But in public, he's the friend of Allah. But in private, he's the friend of the shaitan. No. We want to benefit from a person that when he talks to us, he talks to us from his heart. When he informs us to do good and stay away from this and do this, he's the type of individual that implements it. And this is best for him. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. You tell me halal and haram, and at the same time, you go and do the haram. This is not the type of individual that we want to benefit from. Another thing, with regards to the type of individual that does the haram, at times this will have a ta'thir on the knowledge that he gives. The type of individual that watches movies day and night, or a portion of the day, a portion of the night, and the likes of that. And then when you ask him about television and movies and the likes, I don't necessarily say that there's a problem. Just try to lower you. And the likes of that. Yani, he's going to have some tamir, He's going to have some, he's going to be somewhat lackadaisical in his fatwa or in his information. Why? Because he himself is indulging in the sin. Because he himself is indulging in the sin. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to protect us from that. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was the type of individual, you saw that this individual was waiting for the akhirah. He was the type of alim that did not want anything to do with the dunya except a'mal as-salihah and except da'wah. He was the type of individuals, wallahi qasamun billahi, one day, the reality is Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was the type of scholar that was not concerned with his clothing. He was not concerned that it was the neatest and the most beautifulest and the likes of that. No. Even so much so, I remember I was visiting Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. And we had exited the masjid and we were on his way to his house. And as a student, you know, the student is different from the teacher. The student should dress, especially in the company of the teacher, the student should dress, you know, with a clean thobe and, you know, he should wear a fragrance like it's mentioned by the ulama in their books on the character of the student. So the student was dressed a certain way, and Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was dressed his normal way, which he doesn't care too much about, you know, his clothing. There's no doubt, mashallah, his clothing is clean and the likes of that, but if his shamag falls off of his head, it's not a big problem. The way he folds his shamag on it, it's not a big problem. So, it's even possible that you would think that he was a poor individual. And Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, walillahi alhamd, he had money. But it was not his main goal to display it. So I recall an individual, a Saudi, pulled up and I was standing with Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. And an individual pulled up and said, came out of his car, and there was a female in the car, and the individual came up to me, gave salam to Gudayan, and then looked at me and said, where is the house of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan? And I pointed at his house. And then he said, when can I talk to the Sheikh? And the Sheikh is standing right beside me. When can I talk to the Sheikh? I said, when would you like to talk to the Sheikh? He said, you know, is he available now? I said, yes, this is him. And I pointed at him. You should have saw the eyes of the individual. The individual could not believe that was Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan standing beside me. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan said, no, what's your issue? And this leads me to another fa'ada. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, rahmatullahi alayhi, was an individual that was very known for his recitation over individuals that have problems with jinn, that have problems with evil eye, that have problems with jealousy, and the likes of that. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, and I will go into another story from that regard. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, the individual said to the Sheikh, "Your Sheikh, my mother, she needs to be read over." Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan came over to the car and read over the female while she was sitting in the car. I've never seen a jinn come out or be affected by a scholar like I've seen it affected by Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. Yes, we've read in the books before, a jinn being affected by Imam Ahmed, a jinn being affected by Ibn Taymiyyah, so much so an individual can come to Ibn Taymiyyah, like you find in some of the books of Ibn Taymiyyah, individual can come to Ibn Taymiyyah and say, "Yeah, Sheikh, my son is sick in the house, and we believe it's the jinn." Ibn Taymiyyah is saying to the individual, go back and say to your son, and there's no doubt his jinn can hear, say to your son that if the jinn does not leave, I will come to the house, and the jinn leaving immediately. The ulama mentioned because it has something to do with the taqwa of the individual who is reciting. It has something to do with the taqwa of the individual who is reciting. I recall one day an individual approached me and said that he feels that one of his family members is affected by a jinn. And he wants Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan to read. Although Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan did not like to be known for that. He did not like to be known that he recites over people. It was not something common amongst the Salaf, I recite, come to me. No. If they recited and people knew, they would come to them. But they did not like to be known for this. They liked to busy themselves with knowledge. And if from time to time they recite over someone, then that was not a problem. So I told the individual, I said, the Sheikh doesn't like to be known for this, but if it's an emergency, come pray with me at the Sheikh's house, and at the masjid next to the Sheikh's house, and inshallah, I will talk to the Sheikh after Salah, and inshallah, the Sheikh will recite over the family member. That took place. The Sheikh said, bring the person inside. We brought the person inside. And I've been present with other recitations over jinn and the likes of that, people possessed and the likes of that. The jinn sometimes takes 20 minutes to start talking. It sometimes takes a half hour. Sometimes the jinn never talks. Once again, based on the taqwa of the reciter. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan sat next to the person that was affected.
And he was reciting quietly to himself. I cannot even tell you at this moment what were the surahs that he was reciting. He was reciting to himself. Wallahi, tallahi, billahi, within 15 seconds, the jinn started screaming. Within 15 seconds. The jinn said, let's get out. I want to leave. I'm not going to stay here. Why is he reciting? The likes of that. I could not believe my eyes. I've been present before. I've seen the same thing done before by other individuals. The jinn is patient. The jinn can handle it. I'm not going to show myself. I'm going to make them think that I'm not even here. And the likes of that. The jinn started within 15 seconds. The jinn was agitated. The jinn was affected. The jinn was bothered. The sheikh read to himself, and I didn't even hear what he was reading. Then the sheikh said, after about 15 minutes, the sheikh said, Mustafa, come into the hallway. We went into the hallway of his home. He said, take them home and continue reciting. I said, yeah, Sheikh Taib, this is not my field. I do not know about reciting. He said, no, the jinn is so upset it's going to leave. Just recite for a few minutes, it's going to leave. And sure enough, walillahil hamd, we took the individual home, we read for a few minutes, and the jinn left. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayn was an individual of sahib al-taqwa. He was an individual of taqwa. I recall one time I was sitting in the masjid with the sheikh after salat. We were at the masjid discussing something. And an individual came up to the sheikh, gave him salams. And this individual doesn't have a beard or nothing like that. You know, general layman, doesn't have a beard. And he gave the sheikh salams. And he said, ya sheikh, ana basafir ila Britannia. He said, sheikh, I'm going to travel to Britannia. And the city that I'm going to stay in is far. The city that I'm staying is very far away from a masjid. And I'll be there for maybe 2 months. Do I have to pray Jummah? And we all know the hukum. We all know the hukum. But the issue is not a hukum. The issue is not a hukum. It's not a ruling. The person said, yes, Sheikh. So I'm going to be in a city that's very far. 100 and something kilometers. Away from a masjid. Do I have to pray Salatul Jummah? The Sheikh said to him, idhab. Go. Yani go, pray Jummah. Izhab salli ma'an nas. That was his exact word. Izhab salli ma'an nas. Go and pray with them. Salatul Jum'ah. The Sheikh said, Sheikh, mishwar ba'id. Yani it's very, very far. The Sheikh said, Izhab wa salli ma'an nas. Go and pray with the people. Then the Sheikh said something that I would never forget. And I did not write it at the time. But it was something that I would never forget. He says, Ayyu shay'in yuqarribuka illallah fala tafarrad fihi. Anything that gets you closer to Allah, do not be deficient in it. Anything that gets you closer to Allah, do not be deficient in it. The Sheikh said it, and it landed in my heart. This was the way of the ulama. The way of the ulama of the past and the way of the ulama of the present, where they were individuals that advised their students. They were individuals that warned their students. They were individuals that encouraged their students. He said, anything that gets you closer to Allah, and it's not obligatory upon the individual. It's not obligatory. Traveling 150 miles to make Salatul Jum'ah, it's not obligatory. But the Shaykh said, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ يُقَرِّبُكَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَلَا تُحْرِدْ فِيهِ. Anything that gets you closer to Allah, do not be deficient. And this reminds me of the, because once again we mentioned that one of the ways we benefit from our scholars is that we benefit from their statements of the scholars that they benefited from. I recall while we were studying Sunan Abi Dawood with Shaykh Abdul Musan al-Abbad, Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abbad a lot mentions, from time to time he mentions Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz. Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abbad, he constantly mentions Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz. And I recall Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abbad said one time, the way it came up was that a question was posed to Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abbad. A question was posed to him that, because we start the durus with Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abbad after between Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha. There are some students, as soon as they pray Salatul Maghrib, they go and they sit in front of the chair of Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abbad waiting for the dars without praying their sunnahs. Without praying their sunan al-rawatib. So the question came up to the Sheikh, ya Sheikh, there's some individuals after Salatul Maghrib is over, they come and they sit down without praying sunnahs. Is this the adab of a talib al-ilm? Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abbad said, no, a student of knowledge should be the first individual to implement knowledge. So when the individuals come, they should pray sunnahs and then they should sit down and prepare for the dars. And then he mentioned the story. He said, one time I was praying in the masjid of the Jamia during the days of Sheikh bin Baz. Sheikh bin Baz used to be the president of Jamia al-Islamiyah. And Sheikh Abdul Musan al-Abbad was the na'ib, he was the vice president. So he said, I remember I was praying next to Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, Salatul Dhuhr. And after Salatul Dhuhr, I stayed sitting, making my azkar. And Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz stood up and began to make his sunan al-rawatib. He began to pray two and two. When Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz finished, he made taslim and then he tapped Sheikh Abdul Muslim on the knee and said, Ya Walaydi. Ya Walaydi is ismu tasghir for Waladi. Ya Walaydi, oh my son. Hal salayt al-rawatib? Have you prayed your sunnahs? Sheikh Abdul Muslim al-Baz said, no, I did not pray them. Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz says, stand up and pray. Stand up and pray. So this was the way of the salaf of the past. And before that, you have the examples of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Mu'ad, inni uhibbuka. Ya Mu'ad, inni uhibbuka. فلا تدعن دبر كل صلاة أن يقول أن تقول اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم one time said to Mu'adh, Oh Mu'adh, I love you. Look at the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم advising his students, Oh Mu'adh, I love you. So don't forget to say at the end of every prayer, Oh Allah, assist me in your اللهم أعني على ذكرك, your remembrance. اللهم أعني على ذكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. Oh Allah, assist me in your remembrance, your gratitude, and your good worship, and the good worship of you. So it was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the way of the Salaf, and it was the way of the present day scholars. I recall Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan saying that to that individual. I also recall Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan one time I was visiting him in his office in Iftah, and I had come from the office of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan. And Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan is something. There's a difference with Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan and Gudayan in terms of character. Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan is somewhat more rough. And you had ulama of the past, that doesn't make him deficient. No, you had ulama of the past, that some of them were rough. Shu'ab al-Hajjaj, Yahya ibn Ma'in, these were individuals that were somewhat rough. And then you had some individuals that were, other individuals that were more gentle. I was in the office of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, and an individual with jeans and t-shirt and shaved beard came in and said, Yeah, Sheikh, I have a question on zakat. And I was sitting next to Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan. Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan was answering the phone. Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, at that time of the day, he likes to answer the phone. He doesn't like to take the walk-ins. So Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan said to me, I'm busy. And he said to that person, I'm busy. I said to the Sheikh, Yeah, Sheikh, I came from the Emirates. That was in 2006. I said, Yeah, Sheikh, I came from the UAE. And I've traveled to ask you some questions, so please be patient with me. That other individual that came in, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, said to him, no, go ask someone else. So Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan answered my questions, and then I left. And I went to the office of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. When I went to the office of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, I sat down, and that individual with the shaved beard, totally shaved, jeans, button-down shirt and the likes, came in. I said, Yeah, Sheikh, I have a question on zakat. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan stopped everyone, because everyone else has beards. Everyone else, alayhim alamat al-iltizam. Everyone else has signs that they're practicing. Who needs the most da'wah at this particular time? This individual that just walked in. So I sat there, and I watched how the Sheikh would deal with this individual. The Sheikh told the individual, sit down. What do you have? The individual said, Yeah, Sheikh, I have a building and I have property and I have this and I have that and I would like to know the zakat. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan said, well, basically what you do is this, that, 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 and that's your answer. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan gave him his answer. The individual stood up and shook the Sheikh's hand. When he shook the Sheikh's hand, the Sheikh said, وَهَذَا يُدِلُّ عَلَى أَنَّكَ لَدَيْكَ إِيمَان. The Sheikh said, this question informs that you have iman. While he's still holding on to the hand of the individual. Now I'm looking, because this is da'wah. This is da'wah. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan said, this informs that you have iman. The person said, how? What do you mean? He said, because who's asking about zakat these days? Who's asking about zakat? People have billions of dollars. They don't care about zakat. They don't realize the punishment of not paying zakat and the likes of that. MashaAllah, you have come from your home to this office to ask about zakat, and this informs that you have iman. May Allah increase you in iman. SubhanAllah. When I heard that statement come out the mouth of the Sheikh, I smiled. Because I realized that not only did the Sheikh was patient with him, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Bedu used to come and grab the thobe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, Ya Muhammad, a'atini mimma a'ataka Allah. Oh Muhammad, give me that which... They wouldn't even address him as Ya Rasulullah. And he's a believer. But he's a Bedouin. He doesn't have manners. The Bedouin came and grabbed the thobe of the Prophet and said, Ya Muhammad, give me that from that which Allah has given you. Not please, not lo samaht, not min fadlik, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabiullah. No, Ya Muhammad. The Prophet ﷺ smiled and said, give him zakat. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was given this individual da'wah. And Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan supplicated for the individual. And Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan taught the individuals that were in his company, is this how you treat the individual that you see that does not, is possibly not upon deen, not upon religion and the likes of that? Apparently, does not mean that you turn him away. Does not mean that you give him the cold shoulder. No, Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan taught us a lesson that day. He taught us a lesson that day. I also recall from the advice of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan and the character of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, we would pray with him in the masjid. We would pray with him in the masjid if we had questions and the likes of that. And I recall one time, and it was in fact more than once, but I recall one particular time. And I did not write it down. I'm standing ready for prayer. I don't have a pen and paper with me. But I recall one particular time I was standing and the iqamah was being called, and the salat is led by the Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan's son, Badr. So Sheikh Abdullah came and he stood next to me. And he's short and I'm slightly taller than him. And the iqamah is being called. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan pulled my hand and I bent down. And he said, Mustafa ladik atfal. He said, you have children? I said, na'am. He says, la tansahum wa ant fi sujood. Don't forget about your children while you are in prostration. La tansahum wa ant fi sujood. Subhanallah. The Shaykh is not only reminding me, but he's reminding me at the time that I need to be reminded. The iqamah is being called. The iqamah is being called and the Shaykh is advising. That's similar to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet was on the khutbah, was on the minbar giving a khutbah. And an individual walked into the masjid, did not know his name, did not know his deen, jahil. And one of the sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, a man has come and he does not know his religion. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got a chair, sat down, stopped the khutbah, got a chair, sat down, taught this individual some principles about the religion, and then got back on the minbar and continued to give the sermon. Was it Jummah or was it other than Jummah? There's ikhtilaf amongst the ulama. But the point is, the Prophet stopped a lecture to teach somebody. Not only to give advice, but to give advice when advice is needed. Why is he telling me at this time? Why? Because I'm about to be in prayer. وَأَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the closest that you can be to your Lord is that when you're in supplication, when you're in prostration. Not only that, but he's reminding me of my children. He's reminding me of my children. He said, don't forget your children while you are in prostration. Another thing about Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan with regards to children, I remember he said to me one time, he said, referring to his own children, he said, I do not treat my children like I'm their father and they're my children. I treat them like friends. I treat them like friends. And because of that, they're more open with me. And we have a stronger relationship. And the same thing about a wife. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan used to constantly tell us, because we mentioned previously that there was always questions and answers about marriage. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan used to constantly tell us that marriage has to be mutual. When you want to make a qarar, Sheikh Abdullah said, when you want to make a qarar, when you want to make a decision, sit down with your wife and discuss it. Even though you're going to be the one to make the final decision, but get her opinion. This was the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the problem is, that which many of us have fallen into is that knowledge is on the paper. Knowledge is on the paper. And knowledge is that which I can say off of my tongue. That which is on the paper, I read this many books, I read that many books, I read that which I can say off my tongue. I can quote hadith day and night. But if you look into the actions of the individual, the knowledge is deficient or void. It's not there at all. But true knowledge, and there's no doubt that that's not knowledge, because that's not going to benefit the person on the day of judgment. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that the abd will not be moved on the day of judgment until he's asked about several things, and one of them, wa ilmuhu, he's asked about his knowledge. What did he do with it? What did he do with it? You think Allah azza wa jalla wants you to memorize, and Allah subhanahu wa taala wants you to read, and He doesn't want you to implement it? There's no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa taala wants you to implement it within yourself, and Allah subhanahu wa taala wants you to spread it amongst His ibad. This was something we've seen from Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan constantly advised us. So from amongst the things he advises, he says, with regards to marriage, it has to be mutual. Sit down with your wife, get her opinion. See what she says about the issue. Maybe she mentioned stuff that you don't know and the likes of that. He used to constantly tell us over and over again, marriage is built on mutual understanding. And that's something that stayed in my head. That's something that stayed in my head and the other students that sat with Sheikh Abdullah al-Gudayan. Another issue with regards to Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, wallahi, the Sheikh kana yudhakkiruna billah. Shaykh used to always remind us of Allah. He used to always remind us of the Akhirah. And that was something that the ulama used to mention of the past. The ulama of the past used to say, sit with the individual man yudhakiruka billah. Sit with the individuals that remind you of Allah. The individual that when you sit with him, you increase in iman. The individuals that when you sit with him, he reminds you. He admonishes you. He tells you that this is right, that's wrong. He discusses with you. He reviews knowledge with you. Yalla, let's start. I'll mention a hadith, you mention a hadith. I'll start the hadith off, you finish the hadith. Yani these are the type of individuals. Why? Because the reality is at the end of the day, what is it about? It's about Jannah, it's about hell. That's life. That's life. It's about Jannah, it's about hell. There's no in between. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَتَقَدَّمَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرَ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا مُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا مُسْتَأْخِرِينَ Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said, "لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَتَقَدَّمَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرَ." Those that want to go forward, or those that want to stay behind. And Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "We know those that are going forward, and we know that those that are staying behind." Ibn Qayyim said, "There's no in between. Life is about Jannah. Life is about hell. That's what life is about." وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ I have not created mankind nor the jinn except to worship. That's what your life is based on. That's what your life is based on. Imagine you have an individual that reminds you of Allah. Sheikh Abdullah Gudan used to remind us of Allah. Sheikh Abdullah Gudan used to constantly say to us, the hadith, احفظ الله يحفظك. Preserve Allah, Allah will preserve you. He used to constantly recite to us the hadith of Abu Darda. يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظلموا. The long hadith, oh my servants, the hadith of oh my servants. And I'll mention the hadith, or in summary. Because it's a part hadith, and Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, it was very rare that he did not mention this hadith. He used to always remind us of this hadith, until some of us memorized it just from the mouth of the Sheikh, rahmatullahi alayhi. Oh my servants, if the first of you, the last of you, the jinn of you, the ints of you, were upon the most righteous, this would not increase in my dominion. Oh my servants, the first of you, the last of you, the jinn of you, the ints of you, if you guys were upon the most evil of hearts, it would not take away from that which I possess. The first of you, the last of you, the jinn of you, the ints of you, were to stand on one high level, like a mountain or the likes of that, and to call on me, and I gave every single individual that which he asked, it would not take away from my dominion, except like the needle which is entered into the ocean. Oh my servants, verily it is your actions. Verily it is your actions that I gather and I give it to you. Whoever finds good, then let him praise Allah. And whoever finds evil, then let him only blame himself. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan used to always mention that hadith. And that's the hadith Abu Idris al-Khulani, the narrator of the hadith. Whenever he would recite that hadith, he would fall on his knees and beg Allah. Because why? You realize that you have no power except, you have no power and might except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon you. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan used to always mention that hadith. Always, constantly. Informing us of its reality, it's paradise or it's hell. Prepare for it. He used to always remind us of that. And Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, rahmatullah alayh, when he would, certain we witnessed that in certain questions that he was asked. Individuals, yeah, Sheikh, like the one we mentioned about praying, if you go to England and you live very far from the mosque, should you pray Jummah and the likes of that? Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan used to always say that. He used to always say, why individuals these days, they don't ask about, like the way of the Sahaba, huh? Check it. Like the way of the Sahaba, the way of the Sahaba, Ya Rasulullah, أخبرني عن أفضل الأعمال. أخبرني عن أفضل الأعمال. The Sahaba used to say, like in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أفضل الأعمال. سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ما يقربنا إلى الله. يعني the Sahaba used to ask about, what is that which gets me closer to Allah? What is the best of actions? Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan said, people don't ask about that these days. People ask about, is it permissible for me not to do this? Can I not do this? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? He used to say, why don't individuals ask about what will get me closer to Allah? What will save me from the hellfire of Allah? What will save me from a severe punishment? Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan used to always remind us of those particular affairs. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, rahmatullahi alayhi, used to laugh with us. He was the type of scholar that would laugh. He was the type of scholar that would joke. Not too much. I remember one time he said, from the jokes of Sheikh Muhammad Shinqiti, Sheikh Muhammad Amin Shinqiti, he said that, you know, and there's not, and I'm going to mention some jokes of the other ulema. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan said, one time we were sitting with Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, and he was talking about the issue is the brain in the heart, or in the actual, are the feelings and the the intellect, is it in the heart or is it in the brain? Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan said that was, there's no doubt the ulama of the past, they used to hold that it was in the heart. The intellect was in the heart. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. As Allah Ta'ala said, do they have hearts that they do not comprehend with? So Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan went on, he said, you know, one time we were sitting with Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti, and Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti joked, and first, before Sheikh Abdullah continued, he looked around the crowd and said, let's make sure there's no tall people here. And then he said, because of this being the case, and the ulama that say that the intellect is in the heart, and then from there it goes up to the brain, and then the person makes the decision. Sheikh Abdullah said, Sheikh Muhammad Shinqiti used to joke for tall, you know, on tall people. He used to make joke at tall people. He said, that's why tall people are slow. And it's a joke. That's why tall people are slow. It's because their bodies are long. So the heart is very far from the brain. So the heart makes a decision, and then it goes up to the brain, and from the brain it goes down to the limbs. So usually tall people are slow. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was joking, and he was mentioning the joke of Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti. For example, you have the time, and there's no problem with joking. You have some individuals, no. Knowledge is knowledge, and there's no joking, and the likes of that, no. But our religion, alhamdulillah, we have in the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the woman that asks, am I going to be old in jinn, and the likes of that. As well as in, for example, present day, I recall in the books of Sheikh bin Baz, and that one time Sheikh bin Baz rahmatullahi alayhi was, and inshallah the sisters won't get upset, but Sheikh bin Baz rahmatullahi alayhi was amongst his students. And one of the students was married to only one wife. So Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz said to that student, Lishma ta'khud al-thaniya, why don't you take another wife? Why don't you take another wife? And the individual joked and said, ya Sheikh, la'anni muwahid. Muwahid is the individual that only believes in Tawheed, only one. He said, ya Sheikh, la'anni muwahid. Because I believe in Tawheed. Yani, I believe, of course, I only believe in one, the worship of one God, and I only believe in having one wife. And Sheikh bin Baz said, هَذَا التَّوْحِيدُ الْخَائِفِينَ. That's the Tawheed of the people that fear. And you fear getting another wife. You fear getting another wife. So Sheikh Abdullah bin Baz, rahmatullahi alayhi, Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, used to joke. And Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi, used to joke. And Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan used to joke. And there's no doubt that this enters upon the students, you know, relaxation and comfort and the likes of that. Yes, we seek knowledge. And we study and we memorize and we remind each other of paradise, we remind each other of hell and the likes of that. But there's also time for joking. There's also time for joking. So he used to joke with us, and he used to, he used to make us happy. He used to make us very comfortable, and the likes. Well, these were some of the things that we benefited from the life of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. And there's no doubt that there's much, much more that can be mentioned. There's much, much more that can be mentioned. But, you know, the main focus that we wanted to bring to the attention of the people, and this is something that's important for the people to realize, is that if an individual has the ability to travel and sit with the scholar, because those stories that we just informed you of, that character that we just informed you of, in general, you won't get it from the books of the scholars. You can't open up the fatawa of Darul Ifta, because that's what, basically, that you get the knowledge of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. The knowledge of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan is in the fatawa of Darul Ifta. If you open up the fatawa of Darul Ifta, and somebody might say, well, what about the different durus? And yeah, but at the same time, if you listen to Powell talk, you cannot necessarily get the character of the Sheikh. Right? And it was mentioned that Imam Ahmed, thousands of people used to attend his durus. But only a few hundred came for knowledge, and the rest used to come for his character. The character of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan, the character of Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, the character of Sheikh Muhammad bin Saleh Uthaymeen, the character of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, cannot be taken from his books. His knowledge can be taken from his books. Like, for example, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, and I'll mention him. I've never in my life, with sitting with the ulama that I've sat with, and walillah alhamd, there are plenty, I've never witnessed a scholar on the verge of crying like I've witnessed Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan. And you will not get that from his books. On the verge of crying. So much so in my notebook, and other students do the same thing. In our notebooks, we write. Yani, while we're writing our notes about fiqh and about aqidah, we write, at this moment, the Sheikh was about to cry. At this moment, the Sheikh was about to cry. When Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan talks about how the kuffar were trying to kill the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan starts to cry. But he holds himself. He's never broken down in tears. He holds himself. But his voice cracks. And you can tell he's about to cry. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan talks about Tawheed. I remember when Sheikh Saleh Fawzan one time, Hafizullah Ta'ala, was talking about Tawheed and the occupation of the student of knowledge, and how the student of knowledge has to call the people to Tawheed, and he has to think about the people day and night, and he has to give his all to the people and his effort to the people and his assistance to the people. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan was about to cry. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, while he's giving his tafsir class, about to cry. I've never witnessed a scholar on the verge of crying like Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, but I have to say, he holds it every time. But everybody knows he's about to cry, because his voice cracks. His voice cracks. So this reality, this is the character of the ulama. And mathalan, the character of Sheikh Abdullah Gubayan, when he finishes his salat, he sits at the back of the masjid and he makes dhikr for at least 20 minutes. He makes dhikr. And sometimes you come up to him and you say, Sheikh, I have a question. He says, time, move on aside and let me finish my dhikr. Like Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatul alayh. It was mentioned by Ibn Qayyim and Wabil al-Sayyib. And Wabil al-Sayyib, which is his book on dhikr, he mentioned that at times he would sit with Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah from Salat al-Fajr until close to the time of Dhuhr. Until close to the time of Dhuhr. And Ibn Taymiyyah would be making dhikr. Then he would stand up and say to Ibn Qayyim, that is my provisions. That is my nourishment. That is my nourishment. That those azkar and remembrance, that is my nourishment. If I did not take my nourishment, I would not be able to survive the day. And this is the character. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan does that. Used to do that, rahmatullahi alayhi. At the end of the salah, he goes and he sits at the back of the masjid and he makes dhikr of Allah. Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan did not reject any individual. Individual comes up to him and he advises him. Like Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayhi. Sheikh Al-Albani, individual, any given time, you should be able to advise. وَجَعْلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ هَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ يعني the reality is that we should ask Allah to make us blessed wherever we are. We're amongst the kuffar, we should try to benefit them. We're amongst the Muslims, we should try to benefit them. We're amongst our parents, disbelieving or believing, we should try to benefit them. We're amongst our children, we should try to benefit them. We're amongst our wives, we should try to benefit them. وَجَعْلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ the statement of Isa in the Quran. Allah has made me blessed wherever I am. And this was the dua of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahab in the beginning of Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba. وَأَنْ يَجْعَلَكَ مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتَ وَأَنْ يَجْعَلَكَ مِمَّنْ إِذَا أُعْتِيَ شَكَرَ And to the end of the dua, yani, that he said, I make dua that Allah makes you blessed wherever you are. Wallahi al-Azim, when Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was with his family, he was blessed. They were happy. They were content. When Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan was with his students, he was answering their questions. He was dealing with their problems. When he was with the individuals that had shaved beards and isbal and the likes of that, he did not let them leave his company except that he advised them with something for their akhirah. Except that he advised them with something for the akhirah. Sheikh Al-Bari, rahmatullahi alayhi, I remember reading in his life story that an individual, a doctor, Sheikh Al-Bari is sick, he's right before his death. A doctor is coming to his home to give him his treatment. And the individual is about to leave and shaved beard and musbil and the likes of that. And the person said, Ya Sheikh Ad'ili, make a supplication for me. And the Sheikh said, Jammalak Allahu bima jammala bihi al-rijal. May Allah beautify you with that which He has beautified the men. Meaning, may Allah allow you to grow your beard. جَمَّلَكَ اللَّهُ بِمَا جَمَّلَ بِهِ الرِّجَالِ May Allah beautify you with that which He has beautified the men. Yani any given moment to make dua, to supplicate, to advise and the likes of that. The reality is this was the way of the ulama. The way of the ulama of the past and the way of the ulama of the present. And there's no doubt we are saddened by the departure of Sheikh Abdullah Gudayan. He was our father, he was our teacher, and we benefited greatly from him. And bi-iznillah, his fatawa would be printed and they would be translated into English, and we would constantly mention his name in our lectures and the likes of that, from that which we benefited from him, myself and the other brothers and sisters that benefited alike from the Sheikh. This is that which we have to offer. Like we mentioned, there's so much that can be mentioned, but we'll stop now. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasleeman kathira. Wa fiikum barakallahu.